Morning, everybody. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. This will be our the end of our third month in Galatians. We've been the last couple of weeks, the last part of Galatians chapter 4, early part of Galatians chapter 5. And it's kind of been kind of repeating a little bit here, and we're going to touch a little bit on this week, what we touched on last week, what we touched on the week before, and kind of throughout the book, because the book has kind of a common theme of making sure that you're not trying to go back to the law after receiving freedom in Christ. And the idea of the Jews coming in and having some teaching here that is trying to get people to go back to circumcision and the ways of the law. We talked quite a bit a few weeks ago about the difference of the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, and how the New Covenant was always God's plan. We talked last week about Hagar and Sarah, and how Hagar was Jerusalem and Mount Sinai, and Sarah was the mother. She was the free woman, and she is our mother. And we went through and talked about how descendants of Abraham did not mean the Jews, but meant the church, and how we as Christians were a part of the promise, and that we were sons of God, and that we are not a distant people, but we are a very close people to God. And we went through in the first part of chapter 5 last week and talked about verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free, therefore keep standing firm and do not put yourself into a subject of to a yoke of slavery. And how, you know, even today we kind of have people who are trying to do that again. You know, this wasn't just a AD 45 problem. This is an AD 2021 problem. And maybe in some ways, even more so now than it was then. And we talked a little bit about how, you know, it's not just the comparison to putting the yoke of slavery of the law back on, but some of us nowadays, and maybe more prevalent, is putting the yoke of the sinful man on again, and how we can get rid of that, and we don't have to have that, for Christ did set us free. So we're going to start in chapter 7 today, but let's begin with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gathering that we have here in Glendive this morning of the brethren, Lord. We thank you so much for the saints that are serving you here, Lord, and throughout the world, Lord. I pray that you are strengthening them today, and I pray that you are glorified today, Lord. We thank you for just chance we have to be here. Lord, I pray that we are encouraging to one another. And Lord, we just thank you for just the love that you have for us. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that as we go through it, that we might gain wisdom and might find application for today, Lord. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Now, with a little bit of backstory we talked about, and the knowing of Galatians chapter 7, or Galatians, the book of Galatians, in chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him," capital H, "who calls you." Okay, so, you know how, like, when you're, you know, I don't know, different things, you're playing a game, and, you know, if we play a lot of cards, so, you know, you go and you're done, and you kind of look back at the scorecard, and say, you know, Jane and Lena were winning the game for a while, which can happen sometimes, but Kirk and I always end up winning at the end. You know, if you look at it, you go back, and you're like, oh, we were doing so well. But if you say you were doing so well, that typically means that you're not doing so well anymore. Now, Paul, right in Galatians here, very much says, you are not doing so well. He says, you were doing so well, who hindered you from obeying truth? Now, just simple logic here tells us that just based on those verses, if that's all you read, you could tell the Galatians were not doing so well and were believing stuff that was not true. Keep reading in verse 9. It says, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough." I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. You know that leaven part, and we will read about that. Let's go to a couple places there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus talked a little bit about leaven. Matthew chapter 16, we'll just read a little bit here. We'll start in the first verse. And it says, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and asking him to show them a sign from heaven. But he answered and said to them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it, except the sign of Jonah. And he left them and went away, and the disciples came to him on the other side and had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began to discuss among themselves, saying, it is because we took no bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you about concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus warned about this, and basically this is exactly what's happening. The Jews are coming in and saying, you guys got to be circumcised. You've got to follow the law to become Christians. Don't follow it. Don't listen to it. It's not true. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. This week, there was quite a few cinnamon rolls made around the place. Sue brought cinnamon rolls, and Jane brought cinnamon rolls, and Mom made biscuits. Does leaven go in biscuits? It does, right? Because it rises. Yeah, okay. So I don't know. I'm not a baker. But there was a lot used. And when Jane made the cinnamon rolls, because I was there when she was making them, she laid it all out small. And it grew quite a lot and expanded and made something quite large. You see, that's the thing about false teaching. It doesn't start big. It starts very small. And then it grows and it grows. And it grows. Just like leaven. A little bit make the whole thing grow. We can discern really big false teachings pretty easily, just like that. I mean, most of us, if somebody came in the door today and said that, you know, you don't have to be immersed, we're going to say, well, that's not. We can tell that's not the truth because we know all that. We've been around that. That's a big false teaching. You know, but if somebody come in with something much smaller, something that we maybe don't quite understand, but just gives you a little bit of doubt in something, that can grow and grow and grow. Galatians chapter 5, verse 11. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. Okay, so I thought about this verse a little bit and was trying to figure a little bit of it out. But basically what I've come up with is that Paul is saying that if he was still teaching circumcision, because at one time he was going around and he was rounding up the Christians and throwing them in prison and teaching the circumcision because he was a Jew among Jews, and he was going around teaching it, but now he's not teaching it anymore, and he's persecuted by the Jews. So if that teaching came from Paul, he wouldn't be persecuted. He's saying, the whole time here, verse 7, he says, you were running so well, who hindered you? Verse 8, he says, this persuasion did not come from him who calls you. He said, this teaching is not from Christ. It's not from the Bible. It is not from God. It is from false teachers. It is from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the leaven is making the whole dough bad. He said, if I am still preaching circumcision, then why am I persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. You see, The difference between teaching circumcision, teaching the cross, is that circumcision was circumcision of the flesh, but the cross gave us circumcision of the heart. They're in opposition to one another. One was physical and one was spiritual. Verse 12, would that those who are troubling you even be emasculate themselves, is the Greek on that. It says mutilate in some translations, but emasculate themselves. What this is saying, the people who are teaching you false, Paul's saying, I hope that they do not have people follow them. I hope that they emasculate themselves so that they don't have children, so they don't have offspring, so they don't continue to grow this. One thing, I'm not going to go there, but I was reading something yesterday, actually, about it, and it kind of came to mind here, about Psalm chapter 109. And basically in there, it's talking about, he's saying to the Lord, get rid of my enemies, make their children fatherless, make their wives widows, and it goes basically about destroying the enemies, and not just the enemies, but their families, their wives, and their children, and everything. And you think about that a little bit, and you're like, well, maybe that sounds kind of harsh, but what it's saying is, may they not reproduce the evil that they have. You know, when Ken and I were just talking about buying a stud colt, and when a horse is a bad horse and he bucks all the time, and then you go try and get some offspring off him, and those horses buck all the time, eventually you're not going to breed with that stud anymore. Same thing with bulls. You're not going to breed cows. The bulls are ugly. You want good-looking cattle, you want good stuff. You don't want bad things. So you go and you get rid of the source that has them reproduce. Now this isn't talking a physical thing right here. It's talking a spiritual thing. It's saying he does not want them to reproduce. He wants them to be done and cut off completely. Verse 13, well, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. They're trying to go back to the law. They're trying to do all this stuff. People are trying to tell them they have to go back to the law. They have to complete that to fulfill their time. And to be Christians, they have to do this stuff. They have to go on and be letter law, be circumcised, go through all the different sacrifices and all that stuff. And Paul just says right here, you can fulfill the law with one word. Why would we not want to do that? One person fulfilled the law, living under the law. One person, nobody else. It was pretty much impossible to fulfill the law. But now, under the new covenant, it's simple. Love your neighbor as yourself. We've been given this card that we have this freedom to bypass all of the hard stuff, but still fulfill it. But people still want to go back to the physical. They still want to go back and try to do those type of things and to live that out. And maybe not so much anymore in that exact way, but the Galatians were being taught this. And Paul's saying, you don't have to do all that stuff because you've been given the chance to do it differently, to actually fulfill it. Turn back to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, familiar passage, verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even though as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Turn back to Romans chapter 13. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, he asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and with all of your strength.' The second is like this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Christ made it easy for us if we just listen to him and allow it to happen. We don't have to go through the letter of the law because now we've been given the opportunity to fulfill the intent of the law. We've been given the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. Back then, they didn't have the Holy Spirit to help them do the sacrifices and be circumcised and go through all the little details, the days and the months and the weeks and the years and all this different stuff. I mean, you can go all day long about the feasts and about all this different stuff that they had to do. Now we don't have to do that. Because Christ came, Christ died, Christ fulfilled the law, and now we are too. Back to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Go over to Romans chapter. I jumped ahead again. They're in opposition with one another. That they're not. You can't keep doing all the things that were commanded under the law and live righteously. It's not the same. You see, we've jumped ahead and we've got past that, and now we have to live differently. We are supposed to live righteously. It's not the letter of the law, the intent of the law, and it's not the physical. It's the spiritual. And Paul's saying, forget about the flesh. We read in Galatians 5, verse 6, it says, For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. We talked a little bit last week about, it's kind of the parallel with, and we talk about worship quite a bit. When Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, he says, it's neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship. It's not one or the other, it's neither. Same thing with circumcision and uncircumcision. It don't matter. It means nothing. Now, Kirk and I are actually having this conversation the other day about some people, and sometimes nowadays some people think it's wrong to get circumcised. Or whatever, and we have the flip side of it, because we don't want to be like the Jews, and it's not there anymore, so you can't do that stuff. Neither way does it matter. It has nothing to do with spiritual. It's a physical thing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, and disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Turn over to Romans chapter 13. We'll turn to Romans chapter 13. Start in verse 7. Let's start in verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this, saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is fulfillment of the law. And this do, knowing the time, that it is already in the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is at hand. Let us, therefore, lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. There's others you can go through. Now, it gives us a whole list here now. Now, here's something that we get this list of stuff you're not supposed to do. Now, we go and we can read Galatians and we can go through that. There's people that read it and say, okay, we're not under the law. We're not under the law. We're under this other deal and the new covenant. So it's the spiritual, it's not the flesh, so don't be like that. But then we'll go and we'll make this checklist. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. There's a spot in this, and I talk about it quite a bit, in verse 21, after it lists all the things, all the deeds of the flesh, and it says, and things like these. It's not a checklist of things not to do, it's an example of stuff, but there's much more. See, it's kind of like a reverse letter of the law thing. If we make sure we don't do this stuff, then we're good. Make sure we don't do this stuff in Romans chapter 13, we're good. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9, we're good. If we don't do that stuff, it's a checklist. Mark it all off, don't do it. These are the worst things possible. Don't do these things. See, but then we're back into the same idea, the same mindset that the sinner saved by grace is. Don't do this sin, don't do this sin, don't do this sin. And then our focus is always on sin. It's just a reverse idea of the flesh. It's a reverse physical mindset of the Jews, basically. Maybe it's not even reverse, maybe it's the same. Keeping that physical mindset and not actually having the spiritual mind. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now there's a word in here that I want to point out. It's the word is. It's not the word are. Now, sometimes, and I've heard this before by quite a few people, especially when I was younger, about the idea of these are the fruits of the Spirit. They're not the fruits of the Spirit. It says these are, but it says, it doesn't say, but the fruits of the Spirit are. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, maybe I'm getting technical on this, but I think that's saying it's one thing. It's not a group of things. It's not, you can't have love and not have patience. You can't have kindness and not have goodness. You can't have faithfulness and not have self-control. It's all one. It's all a spiritual mindset. It's all connected together. You can't have one and not the other. If you need to work on one, well, you better work on them all. It's not a separate thing of checklist, again, of things to do. Well, I'll work on my patience. Well, I'm good there now. Well, I'll work on my kindness. Well, I'm good there now. It's not that. It's going back to the letter of the law, not the intent. If we go back to verse 14, it says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's so simple. We try to complicate it. People try to complicate it all the time and put forth this list of things to do and don't do and all this stuff. if you just did that, solve your problems. You know, there's so many things in the cattle business that you can go on compared to people. It's kind of funny in a lot of ways, and you know, you're taking a cow and a calf. And you're trailing, and the cow leaves the calf behind and goes off ahead. Then you got to take the calf and you got to get it out in front of the cow, and you're bringing the cow back, and it jumps a fence, and then you have all this stuff, and the calf's all wild, round up, and then they don't pair up, and all this stuff. It's just a tumbling effect after one thing happens. If the cow would have turned around and stopped with her calf, none of that would have happened. If we just focused on the one thing, it's going to solve a lot of problems. A lot of problems don't happen if you do the one thing to start with. Verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse the last few weeks with this, but I'm just going to bring it up one more time. We talk a lot about overcoming sin. We talk a lot about getting rid of the old self. We talk a lot about it. We're going to hear a lot about it this weekend, I guarantee you. The topics, raising up children, we're still going to hear a lot about overcoming sin. It's something great to talk about. It's a part of the plan that most people don't talk about. So it's something that we have to push that message, and we do, and I'm fully on board with it. I do it all the time. Verse 24 says, if you belong to Christ Jesus, you have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we belong to Christ, we ourselves have to understand that that person that we were is not who we are. That person is dead. That person was crucified, and we have been resurrected as somebody new, somebody totally different. Now, these guys and the Jews had the Jewish Christians or the people coming in teaching had a problem with trying to go back to the law. More so in our case, we have a problem with trying to hold on to the old self, trying to go back to how we were before. And even though Christ views us differently, and maybe a lot of other people view us differently, sometimes we don't view ourselves differently. And it has to start there. Because no matter what, if you go and you know that, well, you read through Christ views us as being perfect and overcoming sin and being have that ability and has the Holy Spirit, and the old self is dead, and we read about it in Romans chapter 6 and other places, and the old self is dead and it's gone. If we don't believe it ourselves, and we don't know it ourselves, like everybody else can see and knows it, then we're going to keep dragging them along. And if we drag him along and hold on to him, because maybe it gives us a little bit of security in the idea that, well, if we mess up, then it's, you know, it's our human nature. No. You have to get rid of him. It's not even a choice whether to get rid of him. You have to get rid of him if you want to be a part of Christ. Back up so I don't spin on the Lord's Supper there. COVID, you know. We have to let go of him ourselves. Christ let go of him a long time ago. Brothers and sisters in Christ have let go of him a long time ago. We have to let go of him ourselves. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. All of the little teachings throughout this whole book can be summed up in one statement. What's that? I thought you were going to guess it, Brandon. I was going to let you have it. Live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Let the flesh die. And let the Spirit fly high. The very first verse we read... Or no, actually, we read it last week. The very first verse of chapter 5, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not put on again a yoke of slavery. We've been given freedom. Don't go back. Don't go back. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have in you, Lord, the ability to overcome the flesh, Lord, to live by the Spirit, Lord. We thank you so much for your Holy Spirit and the helper that he is, Lord. We thank you for the chance that we have to spread this hope to others and this teaching to others that they too might become part of your family. Lord, we thank you so much for Paul and his devotion to the Galatians. Lord, we pray that we might have a heart to continue to push and to fight to bring others to you as well. Lord, I thank you for the saints that are here this morning. Lord, I just pray that they are encouraged and they are strengthened, and Lord, that together we can take on this world and take on this week, Lord, with fighting alongside of each other. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, and we praise things in his name. Amen.